Wow, that is a beautiful song. That is beautiful. That's a song that I think was, as I was reading some of the backstory with you guys, was awarded a number of awards in Australia as well, if I remember right, and well-deserved. You know, hope is really the core of the gospel message. That really is the core, right? When we talk about the gospel means what kind of news? Yeah, it's good news, right? I mean, that's kind of the heartbeat of it. And so when we think about the nature of the good news is not meant to be kept to ourselves. And with the birth of the church, as you remember back into the book of Acts, with the birth of the church, God had taken what was a Jewish community of all Jews there in Jerusalem, and now at the time of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes upon his people. They're transformed as followers of Jesus Christ. And these followers of Jesus Christ begin sharing the gospel, not just to themselves, but right there in their community of Jerusalem. The Bible says that right there at the very beginning, 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ in a day. Peter's message was anointed of the Spirit of God, and he was preaching, and some people thought, man, he's talking crazy, man. The guy is, but people were hearing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and they were seeing the power of the gospel evidenced in their lives. But what happened in the early church is that they began to only stay basically in the context of Jerusalem. But they had forgotten exactly what it was that Jesus said before he left them. After his ministry time on earth, he was getting ready to ascend back to the Father, and they forgot maybe for a brief time exactly what Jesus had said. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you know the verse well, Jesus says to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus wasn't messing around when he gave them this idea, this commission. He wasn't playing when he said, "You're going to be my witnesses, not only here in Jerusalem, but you're going to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Whatever else you do with Jesus' statement here in Acts chapter 1, you can't help but understand that Jesus had a geographic intentionality in the gospel being presented. You see it played out. If you read through the book of Acts, you see it played out exactly this way. And because the people of Jerusalem weren't moving to get the gospel in action in other parts of the world, God had to get them moving. He does that by using whomever he so chooses. In this case, persecution came upon the church in Jerusalem. And as a result of that persecution, the Bible says that funky noises started happening. Actually, the Bible doesn't say that, but it just fit good with what I'm talking about. The Bible says that they were dispersed. It's called the diaspora. They were dispersed throughout kind of the known world. Some went into the shadow of the Roman Empire, and we read about some of those people as we studied through 1 Peter, and we just culminated that series last week. So they were spread out all over the place, and even the apostles were somewhat spread out. Some of them remained in Jerusalem, but others of them were in other places around the world. Why? Because when God said he wanted us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, he wasn't messing around. He wants the message to get to every man, woman, and child. So, as a church here in 2009, although we're not the early church from 2,000 years ago, our responsibility at the chapel at Crosspoint is to make sure that we have a balanced understanding of the commission that God has given. That commission is that we're not only active in our Jerusalem, the Buffalo area, but in our Judea, which may be the Western New York area, or Samaria, and we can look at that geographically even broader still, but also we are to be involved in the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because God cares about them too. He cares about us. He cares about our neighbor. He cares about everybody. People matter to God, and as a result of that, we need to be engaged in what God is doing around the world. Now, what you're going to see in different clips is you're going to see some of the activity that we have been a part of at the chapel. It varies. Some of that activity is leading business seminars in another country and leading men's conferences in another country with the hopes of connecting people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them are dealing with women's ministry. Some of them are based in compassion or humanitarian issues that we're dealing with. Some of them are training pastors in strategy and vision for planting more churches. Some of them are based around medical teams going in to facilitate caring for people in that regard. But this is all about what it means to hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. So through the course of our worship gathering, you're going to hear some songs, but you're also going to see some footage of what has gone on over the past year or so through the chapel at Cross Point. It's fun to be able to sing songs of worship that we sing all over the world. Sing it in Australia, sing it in Gettysville. We're singing to the same God. And the theme there that we're singing about is the theme of salvation, which is the fundamental nature of the hope of the gospel, that people can be saved. And now, when we see the word salvation as it appears in the scripture, and it appears there multiplicity of times, you have to understand that salvation is both, it is really three things. It is past tense, it is present tense, and it is future tense. The way that you can look at salvation in the Bible is this way. We have been saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. That's how the Bible uses the term. You see, when we come to a place where we turn from sin and place our undivided faith, trust, and loyalty in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, dying as a sin substitute for us, satisfying the justice of Almighty God, who judged our sin in Jesus because our sin was poured upon him on the cross, even though he was sinless. He was the perfect substitute for us. God judges our sin in the cross because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus rises from the grave 3 days later, conquering sin and hell and the grave and judgment on our behalf, that if we turn from our sin and trusting in ourselves for our salvation and embrace Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are saved. It is a past tense act that occurs that has present tense ramifications in our lives. Now, we're also being saved because the scripture talks about the fact that we are being sanctified, we are being set apart, we are being transformed, and the idea there is not of the one-time salvation that happens when our lives are transformed, but that we are in an ongoing way continuing in the process of salvation by being conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. But the Bible also says one day we will be saved. At the return of the chief shepherd, Jesus the Christ, who is coming again, when Jesus returns, we will have an ultimate, final kind of victorious salvation that we will experience. So when we sing about Jesus being mighty to save, we have this incredible, glorious underpinning of all of that. And thus, we need to shine our light so the whole world can see, because they, in turn, need to know the salvation that God alone can bring. That's why that we have as our mission statement what you see all the time and what you hear me say all the time, that every man, woman, and child will have repeated opportunities to both hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about just declaring the gospel. It is imperative that we do that, but it is also imperative that we demonstrate the gospel, that we show people the love and the life of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do it in a variety of ways, but we need to back up what we say we are and the hope that we have with breaking into a world to show that the revealing of the kingdom of God is happening among them even in the now. And so that's a part of what I want you to see, even as we look at two more places here, because we've got represented here today, we've got five of the seven continents represented with us here today. One is right here, Australia. There, we had to throw them in, right? Australia is a continent that's represented. But then we have our activity that goes on in South America that we just saw. We saw Argentina and Peru. I know the slide said India, but it was Peru, and we'll fix that. But Argentina and Peru, that's South America. Now I want you to take a look at what we'll call North America. It's really Central America, but that's not a continent. It's a part of the continent of North America with Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. And you'll see both the hearing of the gospel and seeing the gospel in action with compassion ministries to people. Take a look. You know, with some of these projects that we're involved in, part of the way that we connected with Alabaster Box was Pastor Darrell actually ended up, I don't even know how it all happened, but it happened virtually. It happened through the internet, talking about Sierra Leone and doing some research on that, but ended up connecting with probably Joy, the manager of Alabaster Box, because of some of their engagement in that. And Nara, if you would come, and maybe Brett, you could come over here too. There's a microphone right there, bro. You can just grab that. You guys come on over here. I wanted to ask you guys a couple of things about some of the projects that you guys are going to be involved in. But what I found out when we were talking just right before the worship gathering is that tell them about some of the places that some of the folks here have served and have been. You were telling me, I think, Brett, you were tell me a couple of those places.
Hey, church. Well, we actually, a few years ago, myself, Nara, and Josh, who are the Australians here, we went to India, and that place was an absolute eye-opener. It's incredible, the level of poverty and the desperation that you just can't escape it. It was unbelievable, life-changing event. And then Tim, who plays bass, is actually a missionary kid who lived in Peru and Costa Rica when he was young and has lived in just about every other city in America since. So, and his brother's serving in the Dominican Republic as well right now.
So pretty much like every country that we've covered today, they also are somehow connected to. It's like this spooky.
Yeah.
The like God was involved.
Yeah, maybe so. The cool thing was is too that we, you know, Sierra Leone has been a heartbeat of ours, and this past Christmas we got very involved there in some water projects, and we're still in process there. There's been a well drilling rig. I still couldn't say it. I couldn't say it back there either, could I? A well drilling rig that has been donated, shipping over there to Sierra Leone so that they can actually drill water wells themselves. And those will probably take maybe, I don't know, a month per well type of things. But we're going to be able to do multiple wells over there, as well as our partnership with Global Outreach Mission and the water sanitation that we may need for the hospital that's there in Sierra Leone. But tell me a little bit about what kind of compelled you guys. You have some involvement and some desire in Sierra Leone or Africa at large. Tell me what compelled you there, Nara.
Well, I think it all started for us when we did get to go to India and just seeing all the children and the level of poverty over there. And we started meeting different people, and a friend of ours in New Hampshire actually has been doing a lot of work over in Africa. And we've worked with many different organizations, and this was just a part of it. And he is a part of Global Benefits, and he does a lot of work over there in Africa. And so we've been trying to get over there to basically start help build a well in Sierra Leone, and we've also helped raise money for it by holding a concert, and all the kids came with like baby bottles filled with all coins and stuff that they've saved up and notes. And it was even through public schools we did that as well, and the kids even there realizing, you know, what a huge need there is, and they raised a lot of money for this as well.
Yeah, with Sierra Leone, I think we looked at it, but we did not realize the absolute desperation of that country. You know, you hear so much about a lot of different African countries, and then we actually watched a movie about it, and then God really laid on our heart for Sierra Leone, and the more we looked into it, the more we were just convicted that was a place that absolutely needed help. And so, yeah, our heart has been to help. It's been down the clean water avenue as well, because it seems like just that essential of life gives you credibility with people. Once you get it in there, you can share the gospel. And so that's, we're hoping to be a part of something that helps transform that nation as well through that.
God's done some really interesting things around Sierra Leone, not only with our partnership with Global Outreach, but EduNations, which has a partnership through our church as well, with schools, and Houghton College, which is involved as well. There's been a lot of players that have come along, and now we feel like we've got a new partner, though we're not working hand in hand. We're kind of after some of the same things in the same country. So it really makes us feel kind of connected in that regard. And when Daryl told me about that, I was like, man, this is cool. We need to get them here and have them be a part of what's going on here. So thank you for your involvement there. Now, the song that you're about to do is, as I recall, I read about this. This is the longest standing number one song in Australian Christian radio ever, since they've ever had charts. We talked about this earlier. It was funny. They've had a chart, I think, for about 10 years, right? And so
it wasn't just
it's not been like since the 40s or anything, all right? But it's been about 10 years they've had charts in Christian radio. But this song is the longest standing song that has ever been number one on the charts in the continent of Australia, which is really kind of cool. And it's called We Will Not Be Silent, which is really the that's the title cut of this album. And they've got stuff back there in the atrium. If you want to take Alabaster Box home with you, you can't put them in your car physically and take them unless, you know, I mean, you can try, but it's probably not going to work. But you can take them home this way and kind of feel connected with them, a partner of ours that really is engaged in some of the same things. But this We Will Not Be Silent is, it really has to do with the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel in this generation. Isn't that kind of the backstory of this song?
That's right. I just had a real urgency in my heart for especially encouraging the generation, because we've played a lot of different schools, Christian schools and public schools, and I just wanted to encourage people to begin to stand up in their faith, to no longer be silent about their faith, but in doing so, getting our hands dirty and making a difference throughout the world as well.
That's fantastic. Brett, I'll let you get yourself prepared, and they're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to come back with a final challenge, and I want you to pay very close attention to the lyric of this song, because it's challenging, and it's great for not only the generation that we live in, but God's call to all of us to make this known. And just before, since we have this opportunity, don't we want to let Alabaster Box again know how much we appreciate them being with us today? Let me say this to you as we finish up here before we're gone. First of all, make sure you stop by and touch base. I'm sure there'll be a couple of folks maybe back there at their table or whatever. Stop by, give them a word of encouragement, take a CD home with you, pay for it, but take a CD. Yeah, right, that would help, right? Just don't take it. But let me say this to you. Remember in 1 Peter when we finished up last week, I read this verse. It said, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And we talked a little bit about that. Then the scripture says, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith." And we talked about that. But listen closely to this part. "Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings." You see, we live in a global family of believers. With what happens to people in Africa that are followers of Jesus Christ, that is what's happening to family members. What happens in the Dominican Republic or Costa Rica or India or Peru or any of the places that we have found ourselves ministering in, whatever's happening to the believers there is happening to family. That's part of the reason that we're involved, to help encourage them and strengthen them in their journey so that they can, in turn, communicate and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in those contexts. And I want to say this to you as a word of challenge to us before we leave. First of all, if you've never been someone who has given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that is the call of the world. That the call of the world is, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have the eternal kind of life. Not only a new life in this life, but a life forever. And if you want to know more about what that means, come by the fireside room where some of our guests will be coming by in just a moment, and just take a pastor by the hand and say, "You know what, I'd like to know more about what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ." We'd love to talk to you about that. But those of you who are already followers of Jesus Christ, could I say a couple of things to you? Here's the first. You notice how I ask and then do it anyway. Here's the first. First of all, if you would, you've got a little note sheet, and I know I didn't preach per se. I kind of talked to you in intervals today, but on the back of that note sheet inside of your worship folder, there is some opportunity for you to dive in more about what God's commission and call for us in the world looks like, what he has said in his word. I want to challenge you this week to engage that, to think through it, to maybe discuss it in your small groups or discuss it with a friend across coffee or whatever, but to dive in further into what God has said about his heart for the world and what your place can be in that. And could I say this to you as well? When you hear and you sense and you see different opportunities through the course of the year for various opportunities for you to engage in maybe a short-term trip to who knows where, wherever we find ourselves connected and we're going to be strategically involved, you say, "Well, I'm not a specialist." You don't have to be a specialist. You just have to have an open heart and be willing. And why do I encourage you in that regard? Here's why. Because when you find yourself seeing what God does in other parts of the world, in different cultures, among different types of people, it changes the way you view life. And it makes you better. It makes you more like Jesus. Because you see God's activity all over the place. You see God's activity in people that are not like you, in people who don't think like you, in people who don't have what you have, and you watch God at work, and you see how it transforms you, and it makes you a more grateful person. It makes you more sensitive to the vastness of who God is. But you know what else it does? It changes this goofy American paradigm that we have, that I have been working toward and our church works toward changing, where churches, literally, that all follow Jesus Christ, that are different denominations, but follow Christ, they can't seem to work together for some reason in the United States. But do you know when you find yourself in places like India, those things kind of fall off to the side. They don't really matter. You know why? Because you're all on Jesus' team at this point. And you realize your life may be on the line. So you're not getting all nitpicky about certain things. You are just embracing followers of Jesus Christ, and you're holding on to one another, and you're helping one another in the process of the mission. You may worship a little different. There may be some subsets of how we worship that are a little different. Okay, you can do those in your local communities of faith, but the mission is bigger than all of that. And the mission is getting people to Jesus Christ. What if we had that mindset here? I think we would have that mindset here more in the United States if more people saw God's activity around the world. That's why we take a day like today to demonstrate that to you, not only as a report of praise of what God's doing, but to challenge you as a people. How can you engage? How can you be involved? And to sensitize yourself to that. So follow through on that material that's going to help you on the back of your little note sheet. And ask God to give you a sensitivity for when and if he may want you to engage in a certain way, maybe around the world, maybe in your backyard, whatever it looks like, because it's about every man, woman, and child hearing and seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for our time together in this day. Thank you for our new friends, Alabaster Box, and for their heart for the gospel and their heart for ministry. I pray, Father, that you would glorify yourself in and through the ministry of the chapel at Cross Point, that we might not only be people who are faithful in our own Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, that our hands would touch places around the world for the sake of your glory, for the name of your Son, by the power of your Spirit, and for the good of the people there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a guest or you're somebody who wants to know more about following Jesus, love to see you in the fireside room. Stop by and say hey to Alabaster Box. You're dismissed.